Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org, this is Soundcheck, our series of live performances and interviews. I'm John Schaefer, and today we are in the Green Space, New York Public Radio's ground floor performance venue on Varick Street in Lower Manhattan. And with me is Torres, the singer, songwriter, and guitarist Mackenzie Scott, who is now five records into her career under the name Torres. A career that began with albums full of serrated guitars and walls of distortion, but which has taken a brighter turn on her most recent album called Thirstier, an album that, among other things, shows off Mackenzie Scott's vocal range to an extent I don't believe we've heard before, and adds electronics and synthesizers to the guitar-based mix as well. Torres is here, the four-piece band, on stage at the Green Space to perform some of the songs from Thirstier. This one is called Don't Go Putting Wishes in My Head.
Just when I thought that it was all
A live performance here in the green space by Torres of a song called Don't Go Putting Wishes in My Head. It is from the latest album by Torres called Thirstier. And as ever, Torres is the work of singer, songwriter, guitarist Mackenzie Scott. Mackenzie, it's great to see you again.
Thank you so much for having me back.
And the band, J.R. Bohannon on guitar, Brian Basorti behind our drum kit, Aaron Manning on keyboards and backing vocals. Aaron and I didn't get the memo about wearing red pants, so...
I'm so sorry. I'm thoroughly embarrassed that I didn't let you know about the color theme. My God.
So the last time you were with us, Silver Tongue had just come out, and I remember asking you if the songwriting process had changed for you over the course of the first four records. And you said, yeah, and you had some kind of thoughtful answer, but you also said, it's really hard for me to make time to write. And 2 months later, boom, the world shut down. And you were left with, I'm going to guess, plenty of time to write.
It's a little bit hilarious, isn't it? we get what we ask for. That did happen, yeah. All of a sudden, I had more time than I knew what to do with to write.
And yet, the album that has come out of that period is, I mean, the sound is noticeably brighter and more buoyant and, you know, happy. but it's also, it also still has that intensity. How do you balance those two things in a record like this?
You know, I think for a long time I avoided writing songs that, you know, could be classified as happy or...
Yes, we've noticed.
Or, you know, satisfied in some way or... and honestly, I think it was my mistake. I spent a lot of time thinking that that intensity, that, you know, directness that I'm known for in my songwriting might not translate to a record that was... that was brighter and spoke of, I guess, more positive things. And I had to do a lot of thinking about that, like thinking about what it is that makes me me, you know, what makes a Torres record Torres. I came to, you know, my own conclusion in a moment that I should try it, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because... many of the songs, not all of them, many of them, you know, are the narrator is in this wonderful place, and she clearly feels like she can't believe her luck. And, you know, there's a hint of when is the other shoe going to drop? When does this house of cards fall down? So it's not all like, you know, fuzzy bunnies and cute puppies and rainbows and stuff. I mean, there's a sense of... you're still working.
You know? Yeah, we're still in the middle. This is certainly not finished.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, life, I mean, the world at large, I mean, my own life. I mean, me at making records as Torres, the relationship, certainly.
Yeah.
None of it's finished. There's still a big old future in front of us. It exists, you know?
Well, now that, you know, that's another thing I wanted to ask about this record. It's not just about a relationship or about being in love or desire or all of that stuff, although that's all there. But if you follow the lyrics, there's mention of a seer, super consciousness, the age of Aquarius. There's a kind of an undercurrent of spirituality in this record. Where does, am I hearing things or is that actually there?
You're hearing what's there. Yeah.
And where does that come from for you?
I guess when I get asked the question, am I a spiritual person, I never really know what to say, but I, you know, the answer is yes, I'm a spiritual person, but there's something that compelled me to make a record about how there is this future in front of us and how, you know, like we can participate in it or not, but it's still going to happen.
Yeah. Well, you know, there are real moments of unalloyed joy and optimism on this record. And one of them is the song that you and the band are going to do next called Hug from a Dinosaur, which, you know, the line of the song that phrase comes from actually uses the word eternal, right? Mm-hmm. So the idea that there are things that stay, which is an idea that the record leaves us with at the end, that idea is a very kind of comforting thing as you look at that big future that lies ahead of us.
Yeah, and I mean, it's interesting that you use the word comfort. I've never considered comforting people consciously with my music, but I actively wanted to comfort people making this record. And comfort to different people feels and looks like a different thing. You know, comfort for one could be absolute terror for another.
Right. The idea of a woman singing a love song to another woman is a very discomforting thing still to a lot of people.
Oh, my Lord. Was it, which writer was it that said comfort the disturbed, disturb the...
Oh, that's Banksy.
Comfortable. Originally Banksy?
Well, maybe he was quoting someone, but he's, you know, the function of art is to comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable.
Precisely.
Yeah. The always disturbing Mackenzie Scott, a.k.a. Torres, here with us in the green space with her band playing live. The songs are from the album called Thirstier, and this one is called Hug from a Dinosaur.
Poor girl, you're the best of all possible worlds. Before my wild happiness, who was I if not yours? Lord, girl, you're the best of all possible worlds. Before my wild happiness, who was I if not yours? My baby ran a race and 40 laps around.
So I'm gonna bring her some.
is Torres with a live performance of the song Hug from a Dinosaur. That is from the latest album called Thirstier. And so it sounds like this was, you know, a pretty well-considered album. You had a plan and you executed it. Were you aiming for the cheap seats? I mean, the synthesizers, the hand claps, all that kind of stuff. I mean, those are the markers of arena-sized pop music.
I was. I want to play the big rooms. I want to play the arenas. I want to play Madison Square Garden and Red Rocks Amphitheater and, you know, Hollywood Bowl, like, all of it. Like, I want to play these venues.
I want to hear you play Sprinter at the Hollywood Bowl. Or
me too, John.
It isn't just the poppy, synth-laden stuff. I want to hear those edgy, doom-scrolling guitar
pieces. Yeah, no,
pieces.
It'll always be in there. I'm not giving it up by any means, but I definitely want to find myself there. I'm not trying to fly under the radar.
Yeah. You said a couple of times that, you know, you were thinking about what a Torres record would sound like. First of all, am I remembering correctly that the name comes from your grandmother?
Grandmother and grandfather, yes.
Okay.
And it's my mother's maiden name.
So when you took that name, what did it signify for you? What did a Torres record originally mean to you?
It's so funny because originally a Torres record meant nothing to me. You know, it was like, it was a kind of an arbitrary name I chose for myself. It was a family name, but it was still, it didn't mean much in the beginning because I hadn't made anything under that name. And now that I have, it's so interesting that there, you know, maybe is some kind of an expectation or an association with when I say Torres record, what does that evoke for you? It's like, well, at this point, maybe it does evoke a few things for different people. You ask me, it's like, I don't know what a Torres record sounds like. I mean, I told you what I thought, you know, when I was making Thirstier. I think at that point, a Torres record was probably a little bit gloom and doom.
Right.
And I hopefully surprise people.
I know you did, but in retrospect, there were hints of it. I mean, Dressing America from the last record, you know, there's a very strong pop streak.
Oh, that was a bop, yeah.
Yeah. And once you know to look for it, you know, you go back through those earlier records, and there may be walls of distortion and squalling electric guitars, but over it all, it's, you know, it's like hooks, melodies. I mean, it's not like this came totally out of left field.
Oh, no, the hooks have always been there. I'm a huge pop music fan. Love pop. I grew up on Britney Spears and NSYNC and Backstreet Boys, and those were, you know, those were the formative bands for me, so especially Britney. My God, I've always wanted to make hooky records.
Yeah. Well, you've made a record full of them with Thirstier. We should let you play the title track. We're speaking with Mackenzie Scott. The band is Torres. The album's called Thirstier. Here's another live performance from the Green Space.
Worship you.
That is the title track from Thirstier, the latest record by Torres. And Mackenzie, I noticed that since the album came out and people have started touring again, you have been like road warriors, the four of you. You played a number of places, like right here in New York. What was that like for the four of you finally to be out doing this again?
You know, it's the thing that I looked forward to most during the time during the pandemic when we weren't allowed to be touring. And once it was over, I was kind of like, well, I'm really looking forward to when I can do that again. You know, I'm just excited about it. And it felt, the first time I got on stage after being off of stage for so long, I wanted to weep. And there was almost no one there. I still wanted to weep.
For a couple of reasons, I'm guessing.
Oh, my God. I didn't even think about that.
I think it's been a slow recovery, but it certainly has picked up steam. And I guess the new year will bring another tour, right?
It will, yeah. I've got a UK and European run booked for March, and then I'll be back out again overseas and at the end of the summer for festivals and more shows. Playing to the cheap seats.
All right. Mackenzie, it has been great following the development in your career from one album to the next. Not your first time on this stage here at the Green Space. Great to see you in the band again. Thanks so much, and congratulations on Thirstier.
Thank you, John. It's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me back.
And my thanks to the Green Space crew, especially Ricardo Fernandez and David McLean, our videographer, as well as Utsuki Otsuka and Jennifer Sendro, and of course our regular soundcheck crew, technical director Irene Trudell and producer Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. Watch the videos shot on stage here at the Green Space. They're on our YouTube channel or right here on the website, newsounds.org.